content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from Money.com and also AARP Bulletin. Our first article from Money.com, How to Prioritize Your Bills in a Financial Crunch. This article by Liliana Hall. When money's tight, taking a hard look at your monthly expenses can feel overwhelming. But getting a handle on your bills can take some of the pressure off, especially if you don't have an emergency fund to fall back on. Some bills matter more than others, so when your income doesn't cover everything, it's crucial to prioritize what needs to be paid first. Some payments, such as housing, utilities, or transportation costs, can have immediate consequences if missed, while others may be more flexible or negotiable in the short term. In general, your top priority should be to cover essential needs first, so that you can avoid serious penalties if you fall behind. Here's more on how to decide which bills to pay first when your budget is stretched thin. The priorities for bill paying in order of importance. Before you start to pay your backlog of bills, get organized. Make a list of all the bills, including the amount owed and the due date within the month for each. Then add the obligations up. If the total suggests you won't be able to pay them off all by their due dates, it's time to prioritize. Then plan to pay them off in this order. Number one, housing payments. Taking care of your mortgage or rent should be your number one priority. Missing a payment can trigger some serious consequences, such as late fees, eviction notices, or, if missed repeatedly, foreclosure. If you're worried that you won't be able to make the whole payment, contact your landlord or lender right away. You may be able to work out a temporary solution, such as making a partial payment or splitting the payment into two installments. But whatever you do, it's important that you act quickly so you have enough time to explore assistance options in your area. Many communities have organizations that help renters and homeowners struggling to keep up with rent and other bills, but those resources are typically easiest to access when you ask for support proactively. Number two, utilities. Keeping essential services like electricity, water, and gas running in your home should be a top priority right after your rent or mortgage. If you fall behind, you'll typically receive notice that your bill is past due and that payment is needed to prevent collection actions on your account, including the possible disconnection of services. To prevent that from happening, call your utility provider as soon as you know you might miss a payment. Many companies offer payment plans, extensions, or hardship programs to help customers stay connected. If your payment is already past due, ask about a payment arrangement, which typically allows you to break up your balance into monthly installments until it's paid in full. In the meantime, you can also look into potential programs in your community that offer utility assistance to those experiencing financial hardship. These resources can take time to access, so the earlier you start, the better. Number three, insurance premiums. Insurance provides a critical financial buffer in emergencies and should be relatively high on your list of priorities. While insurance might not feel as essential as keeping the lights on or paying rent, it can protect you from incurring much larger expenses down the line. Without coverage, an unexpected hospital visit, car accident, or home repair could lead to serious financial strain. Short lapses in coverage do happen, but it's best to avoid this if possible. Otherwise, you could face high out-of-pocket costs. Most insurance companies won't cancel your policy immediately after a missed payment and typically offer a grace period, usually about 30 days. If something happens after that lapse, though, you won't be able to backdate coverage to retroactively cover an accident. To stay protected, contact your insurance provider as soon as you know you may fall behind. Auto insurers, for example, are required to give notice before canceling your policy. The exact timeline varies by state. But even a single day without coverage can result in a higher rate. And in some cases, a lapse could lead to fines from the Department of Motor Vehicles. Number four, living essentials. Food and basic living essentials like toiletries and hygiene products are arguably the most important day-to-day needs on this list, but they tend to be more flexible in terms of cost. Unlike fixed bills, you can adjust how much you spend at the grocery store by cutting back, taking advantage of coupons or sales, and exploring food assistance programs or local community resources that offer support. Number five, car or transportation payments. If you rely on a vehicle to get around, keeping it running and legally insured should be a high priority. Without reliable transportation, getting to work or handling daily responsibilities can become more difficult and potentially more expensive if you're forced to rely on alternatives. Missing a car payment can lead to late fees, damage to your credit score, and possibly even repossession. If you think you'll have trouble making a payment, contact your lender as soon as possible. You may be able to work out a short-term solution, such as an extension or refinancing, if your credit is in good shape. And if you can, budget accordingly for gas and basic maintenance. A dead battery or surprise repair, especially one caused by that funky sound you've been ignoring for months, can be just as disruptive and costly as missing a payment. And number six, debt repayments. When money is tight, debt repayment typically gets moved down the list of priorities, especially if making a payment means skipping the essentials. That said, ignoring debt entirely can lead to late fees, sky-high interest charges, and damage to your credit score. If you're struggling to keep up, contact your lender before missing a payment. Many offer hardship programs, temporary forbearance, or the option to adjust your due date. If you can, try to make at least the minimum monthly payment on each account to keep them in good standing. Then focus any extra cash on the balance with the highest interest rate. Just keep in mind that while making minimum payments helps you avoid late fees and penalty, annual percentage rates, or APRs, your balance will still accrue interest, and it can still add up quickly. Still struggling? What to do next? Let's assume you've done your best to juggle and prioritize your obligations this month, and even reached out to service providers like your phone and internet company to see if they offer hardship assistance or payment extensions. If you're still falling short financially, or likely to face the same situation again next month or beyond, it may be time to take further measures. Even if you feel confident about the near future, these moves might mitigate further cash crunches down the road. review your household budget. If you've gone through your bills and monthly expenses and still don't have enough to cover everything, it may be time to cut back. Even minor adjustments can make a huge difference. Start by reviewing your discretionary spending, things like takeout, streaming services, and shopping for non-essentials. From there, cancel or pause anything that isn't absolutely necessary. If you tend to order food delivery a couple times a week, consider pressing pause for now. And if you have multiple streaming subscriptions that you barely use, consider consolidating, sharing with friends or family, or eliminating them entirely. To stretch your grocery budget, try planning your meals ahead of time and making a shopping list to avoid impulse buys. Carpooling with a roommate or using public transportation can also help lower fuel costs if you need to run errands. And change the monthly timing of bills. It's worth a look at the timing of your biggest obligations. The organization of your bills you did in this month may have revealed that too many of them have the same or similar due dates, month in and month out. If so, it's often possible to request a later date within the month for expenses like credit cards, utilities, and subscription services. Just keep in mind that changes usually take one billing cycle to take effect, so this likely won't offer an immediate fix. And lastly, consider outside help. It may be time to consider reaching out to a nonprofit credit counseling agency. These organizations can work with you to create a plan to improve your financial situation by reviewing your budget, negotiating with creditors, and helping you create a personalized plan to get back on track. Many offer free or low-cost services and are a smart first step before considering debt consolidation. And debt consolidation companies typically combine multiple debts into a single loan or line of credit with one monthly payment, ideally at a lower interest rate. This can make debt repayment more manageable, but it's important to proceed with caution. Some debt consolidation loans come with high fees or longer repayment terms that cost more over time. Take the time to carefully review the terms and compare some of the best debt consolidation loans before committing. And our next article, also from Money.com, is the era of free online returns over? This article also by Leanna Hall. Think twice before ordering those shoes in two sizes. Sending one pair back might cost you. According to a report released October the 15th by the National Retail Federation and Happy Returns, a logistics company owned by UPS, 72% of U.S. retailers now charge consumers money for at least one return method, up from 66% last year. Over the past few years, retailers have slowly been rolling back one of online shopping's biggest perks, free returns. The reason? Rising shipping costs, economic uncertainty, and the mounting expense of handling the billions of dollars worth of merchandise expected to be sent back this year. Retailers from Zara and H&M to Amazon have introduced small fees for certain returns, signaling a broader recalibration across retail as companies rethink the economics of online shopping. Amazon, for instance, began adding a $1 fee in 2023 for return drop-offs at UPS stores, when a free option like a Whole Foods or Amazon Fresh return location is nearby. It's a challenging landscape in e-commerce, Tim Fear, Chief Operating Officer at Happy Returns, tells Money. Pre-pandemic, the focus was on growing as fast as possible and satisfying customers no matter the cost. Post-pandemic, as growth slowed and cost rose, merchants began focusing more on refinement and bottom-line diligence, he says. Those trends are continuing, and companies face additional headwinds with some of these regulatory and tariff changes. Many merchants are trying to find ways to still succeed. This calibration isn't just a strategic choice. It's a financial necessity. According to the NRF report, retailers estimate that 15.8% of their total annual sales, both online and in stores, will be returned this year. That's the equivalent of $849 billion. Online returns alone are projected to account for 19.3% of sales, with Gen Z shoppers leading the way. Shoppers born between 1997 and 2012 averaged nearly 8 returns each over the past year. Baby boomers, on the other hand, averaged just 5. The pressures driving these changes go beyond shipping cost. Brandon Yashimura, a director in consumer retail at Salomon Partners, says the post-pandemic environment has forced companies to rethink what they can absorb financially. COVID began a reversal away from frictionless free shipping and free return e-commerce, he notes in an email to Money, citing supply chain disruptions, rising container prices, and a surge in returns. Pressure from tariffs, inflation, and other costs is forcing companies to look at every piece of their operations to prioritize profitability and unit economics. For many retailers, covering these costs is simply too big a hit, especially for companies that already operate on thin margins. Companies such as Warby Parker, which recently announced it would begin phasing out its home try-on program after 15 years, as evidence that retailers are rethinking costly customer conveniences. The eyewear company signature program allowed shoppers to order up to 5 frames to try on at home, with both shipping and returns completely free. Over the long term, I think this will discourage costly consumer behaviors like buying multiple sizes, but also reinforce the importance of physical retailing as a complement to online selling, he says. How returns are changing the way we shop online. For years, consumers have grown accustomed to overordering, enabled by the conveniences of free and fast shipping, buying multiple sizes, colors, or options, knowing they could send most of it back for free. But now, those habits can come with a cost. As retailers rush to tack on fees, returns are becoming a bigger consideration in how people shop online. Free returns, instant refunds, and simple drop-off options remain top priorities for consumers, and shoppers are willing to adjust their habits based on a retailer's policy, according to the NRF report. More people are now checking return policies before making a purchase, and a bad experience can make or break brand loyalty. In fact, about 82% of consumers say free returns are an important factor when shopping online, up from 76% last year. And 71% say a poor return experience makes them less likely to shop with that retailer again. At the same time, consumers are finding ways to dodge fees. Some opt for in-store drop-offs or package-free returns, while others pay closer attention to return windows, as some retailers are making those shorter, too. Even as consumers continue to spend, retail spending reached $732 billion in August. That's up 5% from a year earlier, according to the Census Bureau. The growing cost of returns may curb impulse purchases and shift habits, but experts say it doesn't spell the end of free returns, altogether. I don't think there's really been a paradigm shift as much as there has been more scrutiny and refinement, Fair says. Many leading merchants continue to offer free returns, and I think many always will. This article, also from Money.com, is titled, Gas Prices Just Dipped Below $3 for the First Time This Year. Will it last? This article by Pete Grieve. Gas prices dipped below $3 earlier this week, marking the first time the national average has been under that level this year. The national average fell to $2.99 on Sunday, according to GasBuddy, a price comparison app. That has not happened since the final days of 2024. Then on Monday, average gas prices reached the lowest level since 2021, with an intraday mark of $2.97 per gallon. Other sources have yet to show gas prices drop under $3, though alternative estimates have hovered around that mark. According to AAA, the national average was $3.05 per gallon as of Tuesday. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the national average was $3.02 as of Monday. Prices have been trending down this fall as expected. Typically, demand tends to cool after the summer ends, and the transition to cheaper winter blend gas begins in mid-September. This fall, oil prices have also been falling, and the country has been fortunate to avoid gas price disruptions so far from a quiet Atlantic hurricane season. Before dropping under $3 over the weekend, average gas prices have hovered between $3 and roughly $3.25 all year. As gas prices fell, the White House quickly seized on the opportunity to celebrate the news of sub-$3 gas, arguing it's proof that the president's relentless commitment to American energy production pays off. However, Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, is pushing back on these claims. It's a global commodity, he wrote in a post on X on Monday. There hasn't been a major policy that's changed anything to date. DeHaan added that Trump's benefited primarily from OPEC raising production, referring to the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. And where are gas prices headed now through the end of the year? By Tuesday, GasBuddy's data was showing prices back above $3, but experts say a sustained period of sub-$3 gas is possible this fall and winter if oil prices stay low. Oil was trading at $57 per barrel on Tuesday, according to the West Texas Immediate Measure, a benchmark widely used by analysts. That's about $13 lower than a year ago. The difference matters for drivers because crude oil is the main component responsible for the retail price of gasoline. The unpredictable nature of oil markets is just one of the reasons that predicting gas prices is always difficult. Barring any major disruptions, gas prices are likely to remain slightly below year-ago levels and could stay under $3 for much of the next few months, DeHaan wrote in GasBuddy's blog post on Monday. Earlier in the month, AAA expert shared a similar analysis of the rosy fuel price outlook, citing solid gasoline inventories as well as the annual fuel blend change. The Auto Club reports that consumers are likely to see even lower prices at the pump in the coming weeks. Well, wouldn't that be nice? And as we wrap up our episode today, we'll finish up with an article from AARP Bulletin. Your brain on bargains, why you should look twice at any price when you're shopping. This article by Lisa Lee Freeman. Why do even smart shoppers sometimes make not-so-smart choices? According to Nick Kalinda, it's because of how our brains are wired. Kalinda, a marketing consultant specializing in the psychology of pricing, says people can be swayed not just by the price of an item, but also by how that price is presented. Just changing the price tag's color or size can make you think you're getting a better deal. As he says in his new book, Methods of Pricing, ultimately price is perception. I talked to Kalinda about the effects price tags can have on shoppers. Here are 10 of the most fascinating triggers that can get you to spend money. Number 1, the color red. It grabs attention and seems to make shoppers less price conscious. That's especially true for men who, according to studies, are drawn to the color. They find women more desirable when they wear red and prefer sports teams in red uniforms. My take is that men see red and quickly assume that it indicates savings, Kalinda says. Number 2, unusual fonts. It takes more time and effort to read ugly-looking letters and numbers. That increased difficulty makes you stop and focus on the deal. Number 3, type size. Small type can convey a good deal, Kalinda says. If the sale price is virtually tinier than the original price, it seems to be lower. But large type can also grab your attention if it appears that the retailer is promoting a good product. Number 4, wow words. Pairing descriptors with prices can also make you feel you're getting a better deal. In one study, a small $5 fee seemed cheaper than a $5 fee. Other phrases can have the same effect. Only $9.99, just 3 payments of $29, and for a low price of $89.95. When numbers are paired with text, Kalinda says, your brain merges the two, associating the price with the words. And number 5, signs and banners. And we'll run through this quickly because we're going to run out of time today. Number 6 is the positioning of the price. Number 7 is the anchoring of the price. Number 8, reference prices. 9, tip screens. And number 10, those famous coupons also make us spend more. Well, we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Larry Wilson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.